This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to wrap up this week in a wonderful conversation we've had all week with Dr. André Villeneuve, who is the professor of Old Testament Scripture and Biblical Languages at Sacred Heart Seminary in Detroit. And Dr. André lived in Israel for a total of about 12 years, got his doctorate from Hebrew University, just very familiar with what's going on there. And I thought maybe that it might be helpful in this last show is to kind of take a look at the current situation and maybe get his perspective. Welcome, Dr. André.
Thank you, Peter.
Are you open to talking about that? Just kind of what your sense is about the current? Okay, good. Let's talk about the current situation because it's complex.
Yeah.
And again, it's this little piece of land,
You
know, is shaking the nations again in so many different ways. So what do you see? What are you understanding of what's going on?
Yeah, it's a situation that's certainly heartbreaking. Whether it's complex, in a certain sense it is, in another it is not. And that's something I've heard some argue for. Is this conflict really complex? Some have said, well, one side wants the other dead. And I've, in my whole time that I've lived there, I've really done my best to understand both sides. And I really think that if we look historically in the last 100 years or 150 years, I think Israel has been disposed to live in peace with her neighbors. They are not by any means perfect, and there are certainly many decisions, political and military, that we can criticize on the part of Israel. But they have always met with a type of intransigence from the Arab states, whether from nationalistic motives or from Islamist motives. And so in that sense, if you're Israel and you're constantly confronted with a partner, when you listen to what they say in Arabic, they might say something officially in English for the Americans or for global policy, right? But when you hear what they say in Arabic and the slogan, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, well, from the river is the Jordan and the sea is the Mediterranean, so it means the entire state of Israel, they want it gone. And so when you're confronted with a flat refusal to accept even the right of Israel to exist, that's not actually that complicated. It's no wonder that there's no peace in the Middle East. And we have seen Israel making concessions decade after decade, offering the Palestinians their own state. Since 1937, there was a partition plan that was rejected in 1947. The League of Nations and the UN offered a partition plan, which the Jews accepted and the Arabs back then rejected. And through the 90s and the 2000s, there were always offers to actually live side by side and have a two-state solution, but it was persistently and constantly rejected. So in that sense, unfortunately, it's not all that complicated. If you go into the nitty-gritty details, of course, yes, things become complicated. But I was there in the early 2000s during the Second Intifada, and every day you didn't know what was going to happen. There was one suicide bombing on average every day, one bus here, a cafe, a pizzeria, with, you know, children, kids who were killed. I saw the building of the separation wall, which is, of course, tragic and ugly. But now the opponents of Israel call it an apartheid wall, which is, of course, is utterly ridiculous because it was built to stop suicide bombers that were coming in daily to blow themselves up among Israelis. So, you know, once again, you live in Israel long enough, you see this is by no means not a perfect people by any stretch of the imagination. But you see there's less now since October 7th, but there was a disposition to live in peace with their neighbors. And of course, you have some Palestinians too on an individual level who would be okay with living side by side. But unfortunately, even since October 7th, you know, latest polls show that up to 75-80% of Palestinians still support Hamas, this Islamist terrorist group. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do if you're dealing with a people 80% of which support Hamas? Are you going to make concessions and give them land and resources and money and funds to buy weapons? What would you do if you were the government of Israel?
Yeah, it does seem like over the last number of decades, there a lot of strong voices in the Catholic Church have kind of taken a stronger stand in support of the Palestinians, Obviously trying to care for, there's so many people there who are caught in the mix of the battle. in different ways. And like you say, they have maybe a big percentage support what Hamas is doing, or a percentage of them support it. The voice of the church, I think, in many ways has been to support them rather than to see the efforts that Israel has actually made.
Yeah.
Is Israel really being honest? Is Israel really being straightforward? Is it really, who's a partner in the conversation and who's not? And you get different opinions about that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's very difficult.
Yeah, that is complicated, because we talked in previous episodes how the relationship between the Jewish people and the church has been pretty strained, to put it mildly. And so it's no wonder that Israeli governments right now would be kind of suspicious about the motivations of, say, the Holy See or the Vatican or Western nations. And so I'm not saying in any way that it's easy to work with Israel, right?
Yeah.
And for sure, there's a certain narrative that comes out of the official Christian churches and the clergy, many of which are Palestinian or Arabs in the Middle East, right? And so there's a type of narrative that's propagated, which is not always true. And you don't hear of the many voices of Palestinian Christians or Israeli Arab Christians. We forget often that there is more than 1 million Arabs living within Israel with full Israeli citizenship, among which are many Christians. So you keep hearing that Christians are declining in the Middle East. You know what? There's one place in the Middle East where the number of Christians is not declining. You know where that is? That's in Israel.
That's all
because
right.
Because Christians have freedom of worship, freedom of movement, they have full rights. And so you don't hear the voices of many Israeli Christian Arabs who say, oh, for sure, we much prefer living in Israel under an Israeli sovereignty or government than under the PA, the Palestinian Authority, where there is the situation of the Christians is not good. So you're going to hear two narratives, but unfortunately, the one that's predominant is the official one, where all Palestinians are standing together against the Israeli occupation, and we just want our own state. And unfortunately, some clergymen and many in the church just kind of repeat that narrative without really paying attention to the other side of the story.
You can also have, here in the United States, a percentage of Christians in the country seem to take the approach that no matter what Israel does, whatever position it does, whatever it does, it's always in the right and never in the wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, just kind of, it's...
Yeah, that's the other extreme. I don't think you're going to find many Catholics embracing that
right.
position. They tend
right.
to be more evangelical Zionists, or mm-hmm. Christian Zionists on the evangelical fundamentalist side. And that, of course, is also not nuanced. But I would dare to say we don't have that big of a problem in that respect mm-hmm. in among Catholics.
Yeah. You hear today on college campuses and all the protests and the rest of it, you know, that it's an apartheid situation in Gaza. How would you answer that?
Well,
accusation.
I would ask the question, what would you do when you have a terror group called Hamas that has been shooting rockets at your civilian population, not just for years, but for decades? And Israel has tried many things, as I just said a moment ago. It evacuated Gaza unilaterally in 2005. So it's been a while now. We're going on 20 years that Israel had settlements. There were Jews living in Gaza, and they said, fine, we're going to give the Palestinians full control over Gaza. We're going to pull out unilaterally, even though they had the army forcibly removing these Jews from Gaza. They left their greenhouses, this kind of prospering economy, and they just gave it all to the Palestinians in the hope that maybe if we just give them their own sovereignty over their own things, we can live in peace side by side. And within 1 year, Hamas took power. There was the civil war between Hamas and Fatah. They started buying and building these rockets that they started shooting at Israeli population centers around Gaza, uninterrupted almost since 2005. So if you were Israel, what would you do? Sure, let's provide the Palestinians with fuel and money and funds and let them just come and go as they please when we know that this terrorist organization is running Gaza and using whatever millions and billions of dollars and euros are given by the EU to build weaponry in this massive tunnel network underneath Gaza to pull off these attacks like we've seen on October 7th. What would you do if you were Israel dealing with this kind of group living right at your doorstep?
Yeah, I think when I was talking earlier about complication, is there's a deep frustration in dialoguing about bringing about a two-state solution or whatever proposals are there.
Yeah.
Because it's absolutely true that there's a percentage, and a powerful percentage, of people, Hamas, people like Hezbollah, people like that, who just, they don't want an agreement.
No.
They don't seem to want an agreement. At least there's no evidence for it, right?
No.
And they always torpedo it in one way or another.
Right.
You know? And
right.
Yasser Arafat said no to everything.
Yeah.
You know, it looked
pretty
like,
much.
And some of the prime ministers went a long way. I mean, almost to the, you know, Yitzhak Rabin basically lost his life because he was willing to make peace, you know? So what kind of relationship Catholics ought to have with Israel and the Jewish people?
Yeah, I think most Catholics feel a sympathy and a solidarity with the Christians in the Middle East, and rightly
so.
They are very much caught in the middle, and sometimes, you know, they're not sure where their own allegiance is. So that sympathy and solidarity is absolutely right. It does not have to be an anti-Israel stance, and they need to make sure, Catholics need to be well-informed and hear the narrative from both sides, and not only hear the one narrative that is spoken officially coming out of, say, the Christian, the hierarchy in the Middle East, because sometimes a certain narrative is propagated which is not necessarily true. And so we have to make sure to listen to both arguments and be well aware of the history of the last 100 to 150 years, a history that is often rewritten, that is, rewritten not in a good way, in a way that's thoroughly falsified.
Well, there certainly is a lot written about it on different sides. Where would you direct people to read about it in a way you get a better actual historical reading of what's going on in Israel?
Yeah, there's a number of resources. There's a book called Facts and Myths About Israel, and I believe the whole book is online. What's the name of the author? I think it might be Mitchell Bard. Mm-hmm.
How much do you take up some of this on your own website?
To some degree, I do. Our website tends to be more theological than political, but maybe we should do more, because there's so much ignorance and so much rewriting of the narrative. And today, more than ever, with all these student demonstrations that are basically completely built on ignorance of the situation going on in Israel, and especially since October 7th.
Well, do you have any thoughts about any end in sight to this conflict?
Oh my, when the Messiah returns, it would be, I would love to have another answer, and I would love to be hopeful, but unfortunately, especially since October 7th, there's, I think, a lot of despair and a lot of discouragement among Israelis who are very much still mourning the loss of their loved ones and the hostages. We don't know how many of them are still alive. And of course, Gaza is going to take a long time to recover when this ends. So unfortunately, many would disagree with this, but I do believe it is fundamentally a theological conflict. It's not just about politics, because there is enough room for both people in the land. But when you have a Islamist theology that absolutely refuses the very presence of a Jewish state in the Middle East, it makes it very difficult when the whole conflict is fueled by religious convictions.
How can people just pray for the whole situation?
I mean, pray for the peace of Jerusalem is definitely a big one, but also be aware, pray for God's purposes to be fulfilled in Israel. And so I do believe very much that the calling to Abraham still stands. Those who bless you, I will bless. Those who curse you, I will curse. And so by blessing Israel does not mean to adopt the position you just described of just kind of giving a blank check to Israel and everything that they do. And sometimes there is legitimate criticism of Israel, but we need to pray for God's purposes to be revealed among both Israelis and Palestinians.
Amen. Your website?
CatholicsForIsrael.com.
Thank you, Dr. Andre, for being with us. It went by fast. It was fantastic. Thank you for all that you're doing for the church.
My pleasure.
You're really a gift to the church. I really appreciate it. Friends, have a blessed weekend, and tell your friends all about the programs this week. They can go to our website at Renewal Ministries and watch them, listen to them there. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once, and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future, and it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.